Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. Some of us feel the need to become an adult learner, and for a variety of reasons. Some because they feel that they didn't achieve what they wanted to at school or college, or for others to move to the next level in their education. It could simply be that we want to update our skills or learn something new to get a promotion at work. The Festival of Learning is a campaign that encourages and inspires people to learn. Dr. Fiona Aldridge is the Director of Policy and Research at the Learning and Work Institute and joins me on the line to talk to me more. Good evening, Dr. Aldridge.
Good evening. Great to be with you.
No, lovely. Thank you for your time this evening. First of all, for anybody who's not heard of the Learning and Work Institute, tell me all about it.
Okay, so we're a UK organisation and we're focused on lifelong learning and employment. So we research what works, we try to influence policy, think about new ways of delivering learning and employment support to people and try and find new ways that work and help people get better work and better education as adults.
How do you sort of modify those ways? How do you do your research in order to sort of help people to make that change?
Well, I think one of the things that we want to do is understand, I suppose, how to help and encourage those people who might not see learning as something for them, or people who are looking for work and have actually found it really hard. You know, lots of us do learn throughout life or do have jobs, but for those people who really struggle, we want to know how to help people most and how can government policy and what sort of support can help people to do that really well.
How are you funded then?
Well, we're funded from a whole range of sources, so we work with government and have some funding from them, but a whole range of partners, education, employment partners, trusts, foundations, charities, lots of people really committed to our agenda, and all of our work is done in partnership with others, and people who want to get things right and therefore want to commission us to do research to find out what works. And also in the Festival of Learning that you mentioned earlier, lots of people, again, really want to buy in that and sponsor some of the great activities we do.
Now, for somebody like me, and I'll let you into a little secret here, I was never really that academic at school. I didn't do badly by any stretch of the imagination, but I didn't do as well as others. And I didn't find learning particularly easy. And for people who get older, they find it less easy to learn. What can you do for people who struggle, whether it's because of, you know, a medical or any other kind of condition, or whether they're just not akin to sitting in a classroom or in front of a computer and receiving information?
Yeah, and you're not the only one, are you? So I think what we find is that we come across people all the time who think about their school experience and think, well, I don't want to do that. I was really pleased to leave. I don't want to go back. But actually, adult learning opportunities can be really different. I mean, you can go back to a classroom if that's what you like to do, but it can also be really hands-on. It can be something you do at work or with your family or with a community. And actually, there's something about being older and being more mature and doing things in a different way and for different motivations that can also make your approach to it really different. There's a whole set of things you could learn. It could be for work, as you say, but it could be that kind of passion you've always had, or thinking about homeschooling and just trying to help kids with their homework and thinking, I don't even understand this. It could be doing something that kind of helps you help them as well. So lots of reasons to do it and lots of different ways, online, face-to-face, in groups, by yourself. So many options.
And I think it's fair to say that sometimes we're very often learning and we don't realise it, do we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think we're probably all in reality learning new things every day. And if you think about what you watch on TV, what you read, what you see online, there's lots of things there. But there's a real value in thinking, I suppose, quite intentionally about it and thinking, I want to be with people who can help me learn about this, or I can really have some focused time on it, especially if you're learning something to do with work where you need to then demonstrate it to your employer, perhaps a new employer, then it might be an opportunity for you to get a qualification or some other recognition for the learning and skills that you now have.
So if I was somebody, for example, I mean, you know, I'm 54 and a half, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I really would like to go and revisit something that I did at school, or perhaps learn something completely different. What can you do for me, and how would you advise me to go about it?
Sure. Well, well, first of all, let me just say, you could just be halfway through. So the idea that there's something you might want to learn and you haven't done yet, you should never write yourself off as too old. There's all sorts of things you can do. So you could go to your local adult learning centre, maybe a college, a community venue. There's often lots of things around in your local community with opportunities to learn. You could go online and search for the things that you're interested in, and lots of adults go back to learning that way, a bit of a Google, so that no one's watching and you can find out what you want to do. You can also call or go online to the National Career Service. Whether or not you feel like you're trying to develop a career or even have one, there's such a range of learning opportunities there, and I'd really encourage people to have a look and see what they can find.
If I approached your organisation, how would you be able to support me?
Well, so we're a research and policy organisation, and so lots of the work we do is for those organisations that you would go to.
Right.
But I definitely signpost you towards our Festival of Learning campaign, and that's got two elements. So first of all, we're trying to inspire people to learn, and we've got, every year we have these awards for inspirational and outstanding adult learners, and I would definitely point you to some of those amazing films and case studies of people that you think, oh, actually, they're like me, and they've done it, so I can, and I think there's some great encouragement there. We also run Lifelong Learning Week in November, so that's coming up soon, and we point you to the many organisations, perhaps some in your local area, that are putting on taster events or opportunities to engage in a whole set of activities which might just give you a first taste, develop your confidence and pique your interest.
I think that's an interesting point you make there. Develop your confidence, because I think a lot of people lose confidence, as you say, particularly if you've had a bad experience at school or you didn't particularly enjoy school or college or university. You may have gone onto a course and then stepped away from it because it wasn't right for you, and then I think a lot of that confidence goes. And I think, is it fair to say that you can reintroduce people's confidence by motivating them to learn?
Oh, certainly. And, you know, when we talk to people who have taken up learning again, the thing that they say when we ask them about what they've got out of it, the most important thing they say, or the thing they say first, is that it's boosted my confidence. Because actually, if you try something and realise that actually you can do it, even though you thought you couldn't, or that you've just tried something new and that's quite brave, isn't it? Then it does boost people's confidence. And when your confidence is boosted, that gives you the courage to take the next step. And so it's really, really important. So maybe even grab someone and take them with you and do it together. But absolutely lots of people say, I just, you know, I feel too old, or I don't feel confident enough, or I'm not sure. So there's lots of people in adult learning providers who will support you with all that they can. But maybe grab a friend or a family member and do it together.
Now, the COVID pandemic has I think, I'm going to put it out there, it's completely decimated people's learning, right from, year one children right up through to university. What challenges has it presented for your organisation, and how you've helped, the learning institutes to keep going?
Yeah, so, I mean, of course it's had the same impact on adult learning providers. So they couldn't put on face-to-face courses. And, of course, working with adults, some of whom are much older, then there's lots of concerns there about people's health. But, you know, we do a survey of adult learning every year to look at sort of levels of participation and who engages. And actually, we found last year that more people said they'd got involved in some form of learning. And I think that's because lots of providers who wanted to carry on doing their work and reaching people put things online, put things on videos, found all sorts of creative ways. And I think for some people, I mean, some people had lots more time during lockdown, didn't they? I didn't. I had three children at home. But some people did. And what they found was that time, that not commuting, that not rushing around, actually gave them a bit of time and space to try something that they'd not tried before. So actually, we saw more people learning, but in very different ways. And I guess what I'm hoping is that as the country opens up a bit more and there's lots more opportunities to go and meet with other people and learn, that then people will go back to those groups, because it's also a great opportunity to meet new people, make new friends. They can be really powerful social activities as well as kind of, learning new things and be able to do new things.
One thing I learned last year is that so many children were obviously off school, and you said you had your children at home as well. A lot of them didn't have access to the internet, or perhaps they may have one device per household. And we were involved in raising the profile of this in order to get an organisation here in the Black Country some funding, so they could go out and buy devices that then they could allocate to children, or you know, through the community that need this, because you know you can't have three children sharing mum's or dad's telephone, for example. But not everybody has access to the internet or can afford it. So you know, what other ways can we do it apart from going to adult learning centres?
Yeah, I mean, it was really challenging. It was challenging for adults too, some of whom were sort of on their courses, and they might have had some technology, but if they had children at home, they, you know, felt that they had to prioritise their children on that, and it has been really, really difficult. So there were all sorts of things that were available, although obviously it was very restricted. So, you know, kind of activities outside that we can do now, certainly until the weather gets poor again. Online was a major focus, though, because that was all that we could do at one point. But there's great, if you want to learn something from the comfort of your sofa, there's some great things on television that
you can
see as well. Some great, all sorts of things that you can learn about. And, you know, the Open University is often involved with some of the television channels producing great material. It was really limited, and there is something really special about being able to do things face-to-face. Lots of organisations are trying to now think about, I suppose, a blended approach where something is online or at a distance, and then there's some opportunity to get together, and hopefully that will be a good balance for people who want to see others but perhaps still rightly a little bit cautious about how much and what they can do.
When you undertook your survey, what did you learn about people's motivation for coming back into learning, and what feedback did you get, or did you learn from their benefits and or how they benefited from it?
That's a really good question. So most of the people that we surveyed were learning for work-related reasons. So that might be to develop their skills for their current job or to get a new job. It might be about wanting to get a promotion or a pay rise, or just that the skills demanded for their job have changed. Perhaps, you know, there's more use of technology now and people wanted to develop digital skills. So work's the main reason, but there's a really broad range of things anyway. So things that people are interested in. Lots of things around kind of people wanting to improve their health or understanding of their health or manage their mental health. Lots of things about keeping up with your children, and you know, there's all sorts of learning activities you might do because you want, you know, you want to do something in your community, and you come together and think, how do I do this, and get support to do it. So it can be any aspect of life that gets you there. And what we see is that when we ask people about what they've got out of it, well, often they have got those things they went into it for, but actually more broadly they also talk about, I've made new friends, I've met new people, I've gained confidence, as we talked about. They have just loved it, just enjoyed it. It doesn't have to lead to anything, it's just been enjoyable. But also people talk about getting a job, getting a pay rise, getting more confident at work. So the benefits are absolutely limitless, and if you enjoy it, then those benefits are a real bonus, aren't they?
Were you able to identify the obstacles that people faced in achieving their learning goals? Were they that specific with the survey data?
Yeah, so we asked people, I suppose there's two things to the question. One is, why don't people do it in the first place? And the most common things that people say are that we really struggle to make the time, and we can't afford it. And I don't know whether you've seen, but one of the things that the government has recently done is it's introduced a lifetime skills guarantee. And so for adults who don't have a level 3 qualification, which is like equivalent to an A level, you can get courses free now. If you're not qualified at that level, courses at your first A level, your first level 3 qualification is free. And that's great. And go to your local college and find out more about that. But as well as those practical barriers, there's also those things about just how I feel about it. Do I feel like I could do it? Do I feel like it would be worth me doing it? Do I feel like it would make a difference to and kind of help me achieve my goals? And so that's why researching it is really important. Mm-hmm. Then when you get to those people who have started learning, some of the same things start to kind of kick in, particularly around time, because as adults, you know, we've got a million and one things to do, haven't we? We've got our jobs and our kids and our, you know, everything else. And it can be, especially if you're doing a large amount of learning, it can be a juggle. But also, it can also be a break and a refreshment, kind of aside from those things. So I think choosing what you want to do and being really conscious of how much time you've got to do it might just be an hour a week. It might be 10 minutes online, or it could be something more substantial. Getting the right thing for you is really important. So, you know, talk to the National Career Service and a local college, and they'll really help you think through some of these things.
And of course, as you say, it improves people's mental health and it boosts confidence as well, because, you know, as we were saying at the beginning, you know, people think, oh crumbs, I couldn't do that, or, you know, that's not for me. But then they come out of it the other side with a sense of achievement, that, you know, the time that they've spent is really worthwhile.
Oh, absolutely. And there's so much talk about mental health at the minute, isn't there? I think what we've found through our research around learning and health is that it can have an impact in all sorts of ways. So it can help develop your resilience, and it can sort of help you cope better with poor health, whether that's physical or mental. But actually engaging with people, having activity, even learning how to manage your health condition better can mean that not only do you just have to manage it better, but you can see health improvements. And there's some really interesting work at the minute called sort of social prescriptions, the idea that you go to your GP and rather than prescribing medication, they prescribe a sort of referral to all sorts of activities. It might be sport, or it might be learning. And what we found, some really interesting examples of where people for whom, you know, medication isn't really getting them anywhere, actually being prescribed to a group of other people, learning new things, building your confidence, actually has had an amazing transformational effect. And that's been, you know, just really, really important. The other thing is, there's quite a lot of evidence about the difference that learning can make into how isolated people feel, because it connects you with other people around a common interest. And it might be people that you've never thought of engaging with before, so you get to meet different and new people. And so I think there's all sorts of things about rebuilding our communities as we've sort of stopped trying to stay 2 meters apart and not talk to anyone in case they pass us something, and slowly starting to rebuild. I think learning in your local community is a really good way of doing that.
What happens where people are on a low income or even no income? Is all adult learning free, or is it charged via means testing? What do you know of that?
So it's not all free, but there's quite a range of learning opportunities that are free, often within sort of local communities and within community groups. And particularly for people who don't have high levels of qualification from their school days, there are government sort of subsidies so that you can get that learning free, because it really does help both individuals, employment, and therefore the economy more broadly. So if you don't have a GCSE in English or maths, that's free. If you don't have a qualification at level 3, that's free. But also, colleges do also have what are called learner support budgets. So if you see a course that does have a fee attached to it, actually still go and pursue it and talk to someone, because there will be all sorts of budgets that they can help with, both on the fees, but also some of those wider issues like transport there and equipment and materials if you need them, and it's sort of exam fees if you're doing that, and childcare. There's all sorts of things that can be done. I'd definitely say, if you're interested in learning and you think I can't afford it, please go and find out first, because you might be surprised.
Where should we go to make that initial inquiry then?
Well, again, have a look on the National Career Service website. But definitely, if you have a local college, an adult education centre nearby, go and talk to them. They will be really, really helpful at letting you know the range of things you can engage in. And I think you'll be surprised about the breadth of kind of creativity and languages and sciences and humanities and all sorts of practical things and kind of quite mentally rigorous things, a whole range of activities that could help you think about a new career or just developing a passion. Go and talk to them. see what you can find out. I know they're keen to kind of hear from you and to see what they can do to help.
Where can we find out more then about the Learning and Work Institute?
So you can find out more on our website, which is www.learningatwork.org.uk. I'd really encourage you to have a look at Festival of Learning, which is festivalofLearning.org.uk, and on there are the most amazing and inspirational videos of our previous award winners who might not themselves have initially felt that they could learn, but actually coming through their journey and sharing it with us are some really inspirational stories. An 80-year-old woman who's taken up ballet dancing, refugees who've come to the country with no English and have then had to develop their English language skills. People who really struggled with their own reading and wanted to overcome it so that they could read to their grandchildren. Or people that just had to retrain after being made redundant and have now found a career that they're really excited and passionate about. All sorts of stories. I'm sure there'll be something that could inspire anyone.
Dr. Fiona Aldridge, Director of Policy and Research at the Learning and Work Institute. Thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive. That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.